All right, welcome back to the study of the Bible Book of Proverbs. I dare say that not many of you have studied Proverbs before, and I bet you haven't even heard that many sermons on Proverbs. Not that there's anything wrong with the book, but it is one of the five Old Testament wisdom books, which in the English, you know, the Western Bible, we have just five of them. The Eastern versions of the Old Testament, they would group the wisdom books into a little bit larger grouping. I think they include, I don't remember now offhand, but there are more than five. But we have five in the Western world, and that is Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And I want to say something about these five books. And I think you will find that I'm repeating myself from the introduction, way back in the introduction of Proverbs. But that's okay. I'll be brief. What makes these five books so significant is this. First of all, the Jews felt that these five books, and they actually add like two more, depending on, you know, old time Jewishness or newer modern Jewishness, they add a couple. They add a couple to the wisdom books. But we recognize five in the West. But they regarded them as the storehouse, as the repository of all of their wisdom throughout their history. Yeah, they did. Now the law, of course, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those five that they call the law, that embodies something else for them and is even more precious. But the five wisdom books are regarded by them as very, very important, very, very important. And they see them as the historical repository of all the good in their history and all the wisdom, you know, all the excellence in their history. And rightly so, rightly so. But here's the thing for us, all right? The thing for us is the Bible mentions the heart. Now, when I say the heart, I don't mean that pump in the middle of your chest. You know what I mean. I mean the center of your being, the real you, the part of you that really most of us don't show everyone. In fact, most of us don't show anyone, you know, the core of our being, the core of our existence. We don't show people that. It's too personal. It's too us. It's too, you know, it's too me. And the Bible actually addresses that part of you. It addresses that part of you. David in the Psalms said, "You desire truth in the innermost being." Yeah. You desire truth in the innermost being. Isn't that an interesting description? Well, the Bible mentions the heart 800 times, from cover to cover, 800 times. Now, what's interesting is half of those, we're talking 66 books in the Bible, right? Half of the mentions of the heart in the Bible occur in just those five wisdom books. Isn't that significant? It is. So 800 times in the whole Bible, more than 400 just in those five books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Okay, well that's significant, isn't it? That the wisdom books, you can say many things in their favor and many things on their behalf, and you can have whole, you know, messages on how great they are and individually and as a group and all that. But here's something very significant. They're all about the heart. Yes, they are. They are all about the heart. And, wouldn't you know it, Proverbs has more about the heart than any of the other four wisdom books. More than Job, more than Psalms, more than Ecclesiastes, and more than Song of Solomon. And in fact, the 800 in the Bible, 400 in the five wisdom books, there are more than 200 mentions of the heart just in Proverbs. 227 to be exact. So more than half of the five wisdom books mentions of heart, the heart, are found in Proverbs. So Proverbs is a very interesting book that way, okay? And that brings us to speech. And you may recall, if you've read your New Testament, that Jesus said, out of the heart come, and then he mentioned things. And some of them were speech. Not all of them. Some of them were adultery. Some of them were hatred, you know. But some of them were also speech. And so let's look at the idea of speech. And it's a big, big deal in the Bible. And in fact, I want to start with a New Testament reference. Because James does such a wonderful job. The book of James, which is after Hebrews and before Peter. Very short book. The book of James actually says some interesting things, and it's a good opening to the subject of the heart. Even though we're in Proverbs, an Old Testament book, we're going to begin with James, a New Testament book. Okay? And I don't know how much I'm going to read here. It's a little bit lengthy. It goes 10 to 12 verses. So let's see. Let's start and see where we go. Chapter 3, verse 1 of James. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. So just two verses in, and we find out that James says, if you can control your mouth, you have control of your whole person. You see how integral? Do you see how critical? Do you see how vital the mouth is? Let's go on. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouths, verse 3, so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. He's just said that again. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder. So now he's gone, you know, bits and now rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Verse 5, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. He says the mouth is a big deal. I'm going to jump down to verse 8. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it, verse 9, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. With the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? We'll stop there. James is calling the mouth a fountain. He's used several metaphors. Rudder, the horse's bit, and we skipped over the part about the fire. But you can see he starts out, he says, if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole self, your whole person. And then he ends in our section that we just, the passage we read, by saying, mouth is a fountain. And it's a fountain for either good or bad. That should startle you. That should wake you up. How much of the time do we say things we shouldn't have said? Even if we don't realize it till much later, as in many cases, you know, we do. It's epic. The mouth is an epic situation. It can ruin us and others, or it can build us up and help us and bless us and others. So back to Proverbs. Again, it's right after the Psalms. And let's look at chapter 10. And verse 20. Let's see. Yeah, let's do that. Verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 10. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. the heart of the wicked is worth little. Now, there's something going on there at two different levels. First of all, we see a value statement. That's pretty neat. You know, silver versus zero, you know, money or wealth or property or value versus, you know, compared with nothing. All right, good comparison. But don't miss something here. And this is in Proverbs, you must make an effort to see these things. In verse 20, we have a contrast, not only between wealth and no wealth, but look what he says here. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The heart, he doesn't say the tongue the second time, he says the heart of the wicked is worth little. What has he just done? He is connected, just as Jesus did in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's just connected the tongue to the heart. He's just said that the mouth has a gear between it and the heart, always engaged. So that what's turning and churning and fomenting and bubbling in the heart, good or bad, often, if not always, comes out in the mouth. Do you get that? That should frighten you if you're a believer. If you care, even if you're not a believer and you just care about not hurting other people or not making a fool of yourself, this should prick your conscience. It should stir you up. All right. Let's do a few more verses. There are a lot of verses on the heart. We'll just pick, maybe half dozen, maybe a few more. Let's go over to chapter 18 of Proverbs. And this one's convicting. This is a very convicting verse. Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. Now, once again, there's two ways you can go with this. There's two lessons, let's say. There's two lessons here. One is, have you ever been talking with somebody and you can tell that instead of listening to you, they're actually playing in their mind what they're going to say next? They're actually kind of rehearsing in their mind, you know, quietly, what they're going to say. Haven't you ever noticed that? Well, that's one of the things this makes me think of. But it's not the most important thing. It's not the most important thing. The most important thing this is saying, and I think it does say the simpler thing that we just mentioned, but I think there's a deeper thing, and that is, how often do we say what we say simply because we say something, short or long, great or not great, you know, profound or simple, but we say it because we just want people to know what we're thinking. We just want people to know what's inside the noggin, our noggin. And you know what? It's not necessary. It's not necessary. There are many, many, many times, really, pretty much all the time, that when you are about to open your mouth, you should say, is this really necessary to say? Is this really going to help anybody? Or is it just going to show them how smart I am? You know, how much I know, how perceptive I am, how erudite, how, you know, we don't have to, you know, overanalyze that. But here's the thing. We don't always have to say everything that's in our head. We don't. And coming to that conclusion and learning that is one of the great lessons of life. There were some great people in history who, if you look back, I'm not saying everyone, you know, Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill and you know, Gandhi or whoever, I'm not saying every one of them did this, but often enough, they did have this attribute where they would say more by not speaking than they did by speaking. Let me say it again. many times you can communicate more by keeping your mouth shut. Think about it. Yeah, think about it. Well, let's look at a few more verses about the mouth. Let's go back to the idea of the fountain. Chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, and let's look at verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain. There it is, just like James said, a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Well, that's an interesting contrast. We have the fountain, that's great. We saw that in James, and we know that it's true. But now Solomon is saying that he doesn't really describe the good use, although fountain of life, yeah, that's a description. In other words, good things come out of your fountain when they're good. They're good things. They're things that help. They're things that build up. They're things that add to a person's existence. It adds to their life, adds to their comfort and sense of self and all that. Those are good things. It helps. It heals, right? But the wicked, it says, conceal violence. In other words, they say things that deep down are not for your good. They're not for your good. That is what the mouth does. The mouth has two, you know, as James said, out of one opening comes two completely different things. Yeah, healing and hurting. Write that down. Healing and hurting. Both from the same place. All right, let's see if we have another one like that. Yeah, we sure do. Over to chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snares of death. Once again, we have the fountain, and we have life, and then we have death. It's even a stronger contrast than the previous verses. You can spout out life or you can spout out death. That's what Solomon is saying. And you have the choice. And in fact, there's a verse, I'm not sure exactly where it is now, but there's a verse that even says you have that choice, that you can actually decide ahead of time whether you're going to do that or not before you open your mouth. Maybe we'll come across that in the ones we pick out of this list. Let's see. We'll see, huh? Let me see. Yeah, okay, here's one, but it's not quite what I was looking for. Back up a chapter, chapter 12, and let's look at verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now, what is the thrust of the sword supposed to do? It's supposed to kill. Now, it doesn't say slash of the sword. It says thrust. And that's actually military, and it's specifically Roman. The Romans actually carried two swords. The Roman legionnaire carried two swords. He had a short sword that he stuck people with, and a long sword he would slash and cut their heads off with, if he got the chance, which wasn't very often. It was the short one that did most of the work. But that is jabbing. That is piercing. That's what he's saying. Is that a fun thing? No. That's killing. That's killing. So Solomon said, like the thrust of a sword, or to bring healing. To kill or to heal. Yeah. Wow. That is something else. Well, there's lots of verses about gossip and slander and all that kind of stuff. Let's go look at one of those. Chapter 20, verse 19. Oh, and I wonder if we'll see the one that I really want to see. We'll see. There's a bunch of good stuff here. Chapter 20, verse 19. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. Yeah, it's using your mouth in a harmful way. You bet. There's a lot in the Bible about that. There's a lot in the Bible about that. Let's go to chapter 26, and we'll see what the defense against people saying things either about you or to you that are hurtful. All right, there's actually a defense. Chapter 26, verse 2. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. He's saying that the same way a bird hops from branch to branch, you know, and you've seen that, especially the smaller birds, you know, sparrows, like it says here. Flit, 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 flit. You know, you watch out your window, or you watch outside, the birds hopping around on twigs and branches. He says, like that, a curse without a cause will not alight. In other words, a thing said to you that you don't have to own, that there's no reason for you to own, then don't. Don't own it. Don't take it in. Don't absorb it. Don't be affected by it. And I know it's harder to do than to say, but this is our defense against people who speak against us, either to our face or otherwise. That if it's not real, it doesn't have to stick. You got it? Now, if you are being condemned or you are being challenged or confronted by something that should be confronted, then that's different. But this says without a cause, without a basis. Isn't that wonderful? It's a great verse. It's a wonderful verse. Well, let's back up. And I mentioned the fact that Proverbs says that you can make choices and they will either be, you know, you can make a choice to say good things and they'll actually benefit you because you made that choice. Ready? Chapter 12. And chapter 12, let's look at verse 14. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. There's some parallelism there. He's equating the result of action with the result of words. And all that does is emphasize the fact that they are just as practical, just as powerful. What you say has just as meaningful consequences as what you do. Do you see? And you should choose. You should choose. And Solomon keeps on with this. Look at the next chapter. This is really good. Chapter 13, verse 2. From the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good. The second half is, the desire of the treacherous is violence. You can choose good from your mouth. You can choose for good to come out. And it will be good for you when you do. Isn't that cool? Well, let's end this section on speech by looking at one of my favorite passages on this topic, and actually one of my favorite passages in Proverbs. Over to chapter 10. Chapter 10. And let's look at verse 19. All right? 10:19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Now, this has a relevance to what we said earlier about, you know, you don't have to say everything in your head. But here it's even a little different. Here it's saying when you do find yourself running off at the mouth, and I'm being a little facetious here, but when you do find yourself just blabbering, maybe you're headed for trouble. Now, not necessarily. But the odds are high, the chances are good, that you're about to talk yourself into some hurt. Or maybe somebody else into some hurt, as we've already seen. It's not a good thing to be very verbose. That's what he's saying. Solomon, the wisest man to live at his time, and the Lord even has a passage where he says, the wisest man even after him. Except for the incarnate Jesus Christ, of course. But by the way, Solomon is actually a type. He's actually a forerunner, an example of Jesus Christ. And that's a whole other discussion. But look what Solomon is saying. He's saying you can turn down the faucet. you can, you know, reduce the flow, and it's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do that. Well, we'll stop there, and we'll go on with the topics. And the next topic that we have coming up will be the home. That is what Solomon says about the home. And then after that one, we'll look at another one of my very favorite topics, which is leadership. We'll probably do both of those in the same podcast, the same recording. But stay tuned and check it out, and I hope this is doing something for you. I don't want you to have your head filled with knowledge. I want you to have your heart filled with Jesus. I want you to have your heart filled with the God who loves us and who reaches out to us through His Word and in a very practical way through His Son, Jesus, who died for us and rose again. Please consider the claims of Jesus Christ. And until next time, believe God.